That's all right. That's good. That's good. Let me just say this. Some of you know Brother James Davis's mother. I was going to say he lost his mother a few days ago, but nobody's lost if you know where they are. You know that. And so we can rejoice that she's in the presence of God, but we can bring comfort to Brother James also. Also tonight is communion. Many people have told me they don't come because they can't drive at night. Well, it'll be daylight when you come and when you leave. And so take that excuse. But come and be with us tonight as we celebrate. We only do it four times a year, but it's important. We're in the book of Ephesians, entitled this series, Blessed and Highly Favored. Today I want to talk about, look what the Lord has done. Let's read together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, and to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. I was reading something the other day about some lawyers who had made out wills for people, some strange wills that people have come up with over the years. One man left in his will, he said, his estate, he left it to his wife on one condition. She was married within 6 months after he died. Otherwise, it was going to his brother. That's unusual. One lady wanted her dog to be buried with her. And if he was not dead when she died, she wanted him put to sleep so he could be buried with her. One of the little grandchildren asked why she was telling the family that, if the dog dies first, you want us to put you to sleep so you can be with him. One man said lawyer said his grandmother left a relative $20 to remind them of the $20 they owed her. One grandfather left behind one of his kidney stones to a relative he didn't really care for. One man was cremated and wanted his ashes to be put in a large firework and gather everybody together and shoot the firework. He wanted to go out with a bang. Funny cartoons. I saw one the other day. Guy that was very wealthy was having his will read, and he got the family all in. They flew in from all over the country because he was very wealthy, and they were very anxious to see what he left them. And the lawyer read the will and said, I, Fred Jones, being of sound mind and body, spent all of my money. Sorry about that. And that was it. You know, we've seen that bumper sticker, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. Well, Jesus didn't spend it all. Jesus paid it all. Because He paid it all, we have an inheritance. And we have an inheritance that's more than we even comprehend, more than we realize. We know what it's like in this life to get the short end of the stick, or somebody to promise you a lot, but they don't perform all that they've promised. A lot of salespeople do that. You know what it's like. Sometimes you go to the grocery store and the prices keep going up. And sometimes the price doesn't go up for some things. They just shrink the package. And so you're getting a lot less than what you thought you were getting. So it's human nature to cut corners, to bend the rules and overpromise and underperform. You've heard the phrase, I got gypped. Well, that's a phrase tied into gypsies, because gypsies, there's still gypsies in various countries in Egypt. I'm not Egypt, in Europe. And they're known for taking advantage of people or stealing or whatever. And they said, that's why that phrase, I got gypped. There's another phrase, I got Jewed down. And that's really a knock against Jewish people who like to bargain, like to get the best end of the deal. Well, let me say this. You will not get gypped when you look at what Jesus has done for us. He does exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And we're going to look at two things today that He's done for us that we don't always think about. He adopted us and He accepted us. Now, I've told you we're going through the book of Ephesians. You say, if you only take a couple verses at a time, we'll be here for a couple of years. Well, we'll pick it up after this, but I want to talk about these two things today, adoption and being accepted. Adopted into His family. Verse 5, if you read that one more time, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Adoption is a very prominent part of our world. Let me just read you some names. Augustus Caesar, Nelson Mandela, Herbert Hoover, Bill Clinton, Louis Armstrong, John Lennon, Ella Fitzgerald, Ingrid Bergman, Ray Charles, Carol Burnett, James Naismith, he's the one that founded basketball, Babe Ruth, Willie Nelson, Faith Hill, Eric Clapton, Steve Jobs from Apple, Dave Thomas, Wendy's. All these people were adopted. They were raised by somebody other than their biological parents. Here's some adoption facts. Approximately 7 million Americans are in the category of being adopted. 140,000 a year. Before 1973, Roe v. Wade, where abortion was legalized and everything, before then, 9 out of every 100 people in America were adopted or were put up for adoption. After abortion was legalized, 1 out of every 100, I guess the other 8 were aborted. Each year, 59% are adopted from foster care. 26% of adoptions come from other countries. The five biggest countries where we are adopting kids today is China, Ethiopia, Russia, South Korea, and Guatemala. To adopt a child, the average time is 1 to 2 years. Many can be adopted within 1 year, but at least within 1 or 2 years, someone can be adopted. The price of an adoption, if you adopt someone from a foster care system, is usually less than $2,500. What the adoption website I looked at said. For a private adoption, it's usually $5,000 to $40,000. From another country, if you're adopting someone from another country, it's $15,000 to $30,000. Three big issues that people talk about when they talk about adoption that usually come up. Is it okay for the child that was adopted to be in contact with their biological parent? That can sometimes be a sticky issue. Here's another one. Say two kids, brother and sister, need to be adopted. Is it okay to split them up, or do you need to keep kids together? And a third issue that's come up more in the last 10 years especially, is it okay for a homosexual couple to adopt children, or children need a mom and a dad? Now, adoption in the Bible. In the Old Testament, you don't read a lot about adoption, but let me give you some cases on people that come close to adoption or are adoption in one way or another. Moses, the great lawgiver of Israel. Whenever he was born, Pharaoh was getting tired because the Jewish race was growing rapidly. So he ordered the midwives to kill the Jewish boys when they were being born. And to cut down on the population, he was feeling threatened by the growth. And they did not do that. They disobeyed the civil authorities and they allowed the children to be born. Moses was born that way. His mother, Jochebed, put him in a little basket, a waterproof basket, and put him in the Nile River. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter. She couldn't really raise him, so she got his mother, and she raised him in the king's palace, or Pharaoh's palace. Here's another situation in the Old Testament. Book of Esther. Esther was, she lost her parents, and she was raised by her cousin Mordecai. And of course, she was a beautiful woman. She eventually won a beauty contest, became the queen of the empire, and eventually helped save the Jews from extinction. Here's another one. King David's good buddy, growing up, his best buddy, was a boy named Jonathan. Jonathan was King Saul's son, and they grew up like this. Went everywhere and loved each other in a very strong way. But King Saul was crazy, and God had taken the throne from him, was given it to David, and Jonathan realized that, but they still remained real tight. Whenever Jonathan died in war, and Saul did also, David went to the throne, and he asked this, is there any of Jonathan's family left alive that I can show kindness to him? He said he's got one old boy who lives over there in Lodabar. He's crippled. He was dropped by his nurse when he was young, and he's been crippled all his life. His name's Mephibosheth. He said, go get him and bring him. I'm going to raise him, and he's going to stay in the palace. He'll eat at my table the rest of his life. So that's some of the cases of adoption in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word's used five times. One time it's talking about Israel. Four times it's talking about believers. Legal adoption was something prominent in the Roman Empire during the New Testament days. In the Roman Empire, you'd go before the Roman court of justice. The person being adopted would be transferred to the adopting family. And that child was a new person. If they had any debts or anything in their old life, it was canceled and they became a new person. Now, let me say this. We don't get into the family of God, become Christians by adoption. We become a child of God by regeneration, by redemption. In other words, God changes our heart and our life. We're born again. We're born of the Spirit. Let me just give you a couple quotes from the Bible. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. We're born again. Here's another one in John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we're born again and made a child of God by being born again, by regeneration, by redemption. But after you're born again, God will adopts us into His family. And we become a part of the family of God. There was a pastor. His name was Craig Barnes. He adopted a 12-year-old boy that come from a very rough home. And he adopted it in his family. He said the first 5 or 6 months, it seemed like 8 or 10 times a day we were having to tell him, hey, that's not how we do it in this family. That's not how we speak to each other in this family. We don't treat each other like that in this family. We don't do these things that you're trying to do in this family. He said we had to tell him over and over again, you're part of our family now, and was trying to change him from what he was. And that's what happens in the kingdom of God. Once we come into the family of God, God's working on us to change our life. It's called sanctification. It's when God begins to say, hey, this is how we talk in my family. This is how we treat one another in the family of God. This is what we do. This is what pleases me, what displeases me. So God's constantly working in our life because we've been adopted into His family, and He wants to change us. Now, the need for adoption. Most children are adopted from foster homes today in this country. Thank God for foster homes that take children in. I remember Brother Sarge and his brother were both come out of the foster home, and great men. I heard one time of a couple that a new pastor had come to a church, and they wanted to meet with him after a week or two he was there, and they introduced themselves. They said, this is Bill, I'm Bill, and this is my wife, Mary. And we want to just go ahead and tell you, we don't believe, we've prayed about this, and we don't believe it's meant for us to have children. He said, okay, well, he said, I hate to hear that, but that's your personal, there's no demand for that, but you don't have to. He said, well, we prayed about it a long time, and it's not, we just don't believe the Lord wants us to have children. He said, okay, but why are you bringing that to me? He said, we just wondered, since you're a preacher, could you go to our house and tell our children that? Anyway, so a lot of times people change their mind after the children have been born. There are three reasons people end up in a foster home. Death. When the parents die, the children have nowhere to go. If a relative or something does not have room or doesn't have the money or can't take them in, they'll usually go to a foster home. Second reason people end up there is because the parents were abusive. If they physically or sexually abuse their children, they will be taken away from them, put in a foster home. Third reason they're put in those homes a lot of times is because neglect. The parents could be drug addicts, alcoholics, or whatever, and just are not doing their job and leaving the kids to be to raise themselves, so to speak. And a lot of times they'll be taken and put into a foster home. Let me say this. I want you to understand this. Before we came to Jesus, I'm not talking about earthly things now. I'm talking about spiritual things. We were raised by a bad father. We were of our father, the devil. And let me tell you about him. He was a murderer. You'd have been just as good to be raised by Charles Manson and Jeffrey Dahmer. He's a murderer from the beginning. That's who our father was before we come to Christ. He abused us. He didn't care anything about us. He just wanted to use, manipulate us and take us to an eternity away from God. He was a liar and the father of lies. He was a thief. He would steal. He would steal your hopes, your joy, your dreams, your life. He'd steal your very soul. But thank God we've been adopted into a brand new family today. And we've got a Heavenly Father that has adopted us into His family. What are the reasons for adoption? Okay, let's go back to the scriptures here. Adoption is the result of the Father's choice. Look at verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, a lot of times people think if you're a person that's a child that was adopted and you were raised by adoptive parents, a lot of times people that have been adopted feel like they don't get treated the same way as the biological children are. Or maybe they feel like they're a step below or something like that because they're not the biological children or whatever. That's not the case with the kingdom of God. We're all adopted. We're all adopted. If you were adopted, your parents chose you. Now, if a couple wants to have children, and all we want really, you may have a preference for a boy or a girl, but what we really want is a healthy child. And it's out of our hands. We just, whatever God gives us or whoever God gives us. But an adopted child, you were picked out. You were chosen. One little boy in first grade, he was from a different country and he had been adopted in his family. And he introduced himself to the teacher. My mom and daddy is these people. But they say, I'm adopted. What does that mean? And the teacher said, that means you grew in your mama's heart instead of your mama's tummy. And that's the way it is. God chooses us to be adopted into His family. Adoption is not only the result of the Father's choice, it's a result of the Father's love. Look at verse 5 one more time. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. God did not have to bring us into His family, but He did it because He loved us. He could have left us out and the birds would have never quit singing. He could have left us out and the sun would still rise up in the east and set in the west. He could have left us out of the picture and all the angels of heaven 24/7 would still be praising and glorifying God. But He brought us to Himself because He loved us. And He cared about us. He didn't want to spend eternity without us. Number 3, adoption is a result of the Father's sacrifice. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, adoption costs money. It costs money to adopt a child. And you've got to be willing to pay the price. Paul told the Corinthians, and he said about us Christians, we've been bought with a price. There's a price. I heard a story years ago about a house that was on fire. It was a two-story house. And the fire people had not gotten there yet. And the neighbors were concerned because there was a little child, a little 3 or 4 year old child upstairs screaming. And so they felt like they needed to do something and do it quick. And so one man climbed up an old iron pipe to get up there, see if he could get to the child. And the closer he got, the hotter that pipe was. But he rescued the child. A few days later, they were in court, and they were going to try to adopt this child because the parents were burned up in the fire. And one man stepped up, and the judge says, we're going to let you state your case why you would be a good parent for this child. And the man said, I'm very wealthy. Me and my wife got a lot of money. You would grow up in a very nice home. You'd have a swimming pool, you would have the best of everything, the nicest clothes, we'd buy you a car one day, we'd send you to college, you wouldn't have to worry about anything. We've been blessed and we could give you things that most people can't get. The second one that stood up was a farmer. He said, I don't have lots of money, but I got a lot of land. We got a lot of land. If you come to live with me, son, I would teach you how to work. I would teach you how to hunt and how to fish, how to ride a tractor, how to be around animals and things. I can teach you a lot of things if you want to come stay with me. The third one got up and he said, I don't have a lot of wealth and I don't have a lot of land. But this is what I have. He took his hands out of his pockets. His hands were both burnt and scarred. And the little boy said, he's the one I want to go to. Jesus paid a price for us, a big price, to adopt us into his family. So one of the great spiritual blessings we have in our inheritance as a Christian is we've been adopted. We used to sing an old song years ago, and it said, from the doors of an orphanage to the house of a king, I'm no longer an outcast, but a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We've been adopted into the family of God. Here's the second thing that this scripture deals with. We've been accepted in the beloved. Let's look at verse 6 one more time. By which he made us accepted in the beloved. So adopted and accepted. Now, acceptance is a big thing. If a man gets down on one knee to propose, I would do that, but I might not get up. If he proposed to his girlfriend, he's hoping she's going to accept that proposal. People want to get accepted into a particular college that they've applied for. Sometimes you go to a restaurant. I don't know if you've ever gone to a restaurant where they say they don't accept credit cards. I've been to restaurants where they don't accept cash. I don't know what they accept, but they don't accept that. My daughter and them just bought a house, and they made a bid or made an offer on a house, and they were wanting it to get accepted. The first one they went to did not get accepted. The second one got accepted. So we're always wanting to be accepted. I will say this, in this world today, I've just about accepted some facts. This is part of life nowadays. I don't go to doctors very often, or dentists. I went to a dermatologist, and I don't know if it was at the dermatologist, but I went there and I got an early appointment, and there was three or four people in the room, and I usually try to strike up a conversation with somebody, but everybody was on their phone. So I've accepted that's the way we do it. So I got on my phone. Anyway, that's the way life is, it seems like. I've accepted the fact when I go to watch the Little League, whether they're playing soccer or baseball or football, I've accepted the fact that there's some parents that think that is the World Series or the Super Bowl, and their child is going to be a Heisman Trophy winner, and they're going to cuss out the coach or whatever because this is the biggest thing in the world to them. I've accepted that fact. There's a lot of things that I've accepted that's a part of life. Everybody wants to be accepted. I've watched kids when they are playing sports and stuff, if they do a good thing, or if they get a good hit or kick the ball in the goal or whatever, they may not do it overtly, but they're going to look over there and glance and see what their parents were thinking. Everybody wants to be accepted. Some kids will go against everything they've been raised and taught by their parents because they want to be accepted by their peers. And so what mom and daddy said, they said do it, but if you'll accept me, I'll go your way. Everybody wants to be accepted. I don't know if you've heard of this little boy right here. His name's Sammy Tush. I'm sure if that's how you pronounce it. He was 10 years old in Greenville, Indiana. Sammy was a good kid. His mother said she's never seen a kid as good as him. When he would get money for his birthday, people would give him money as grandparents and aunts and uncles, he would take that money and would not buy anything for himself. He would spend it on others and buy things for other people in the family. She said, we went on a vacation to the beach, and he would be seen picking up trash to make the beach look better. She said, it was a kid like I've never seen. He was just so polite and so caring and all this. He had one problem. He was bullied in school. Parents went to the authorities, teachers, principals, over 20 times because their kid was getting beat up and bullied constantly. They bullied him because he wore glasses and his teeth weren't very good. One day he got beat up on the school bus coming home. They broke his glasses and everything, threatened him, "Don't you tell anybody, don't do this and that." Anyway, the breakfast one morning, she went to get him to get his, he loved pancakes, she went to get him to get his, to come to breakfast, eat pancakes before they got cold, and he killed himself. This is the little boy right here. All he ever wanted was to be accepted. But his few years on this earth, he was rejected over and over again. Now, the Bible says we've been accepted by God. Now, I'm going to take a little detour right here because this is pertinent to our culture and what's going on in our society. I'm going to try to do this in love, too. Acceptance misunderstood. There are words that get thrown around a lot today when it comes to Christians. A lot of people have a lot of animosity towards Christians because they say Christians are not very accepting. They're not very tolerant of other beliefs and other lifestyles and things like this. And so many people hate Christians because they will not accept anything outside of Christianity or Christian belief in the Bible and all this kind of stuff. There's not a lot of things I watch on. Things I watch on TV is mostly sports, and I try to keep up with the news. But there is something I do like to watch from time to time, and that's remodeling houses. You know, fixing up houses, tearing them, buying them, and fixing them up, making them look better. I do like to watch that. One of the most prominent ones in the last 10, 15 years is called Fixer Upper. Everybody heard of Fixer Upper? Most of you have. Well, the reason I'm bringing this illustration up is they've made the news here in the last 7 to 10 days. Chip and Joanna Gaines do a wonderful job of fixing up, restoring houses. They're Christian people. About 10 or 12 years ago, they were being attacked because they went to a Baptist church that taught against homosexuality as sinful. And they were attacked. Anyway, here recently they've progressed and gotten more and more popular. Now they produce a show that just started that take kids and their families back to the pioneer days. Let them be raised like they were in the pioneer days. See how they can handle it. And one of the couples on there is a homosexual couple. And so the Christian community is very upset because here's Christian people once again compromising and sending a message that this is okay, it's acceptable nowadays. I saw Franklin Graham had a very big statement about it and many other prominent pastors. And I'm going to make my statements too, because I am against the message it sends. Now, go ahead and count me in. I'm against transgender. I'm against drag queens at story time. I'm against changing and making acceptable pronouns, that what pronouns I want to be identified by. I'm against all of that. And I'm going to try to do this all in love because we're accused of not being accepting. So I'm going to take 10 or 15 minutes and tell you what I believe about this. But we've got to do it in love because if we don't, we're going to answer to God. So if we're not doing things in love and we don't care about people, then we're going to definitely have to answer to God. I don't have a right to be hate people or be unkind or anything like that. Here's the question. Why can't Christians accept, we're just going to take homosexuality. Why can't you just say that's their lifestyle, let them live their life? Why do you have to come against it? Right, I'm glad you asked me that. I thought somebody might ask me that. Here's why. Because first of all, I'm going to give you 5 reasons. I could give you 15 or 20 good reasons. I'm just going to give you 5. Why we have to stand against things like this. One is because it goes against God's design for marriage. God's the one that designed marriage. He's the one that created it, and he's the one that wants it to be run a certain way. Well, Jesus never said anything negative against homosexual marriage. Oh, yes, he did. Matthew chapter 19, they were trying to trip Jesus up on the subject of divorce. And they were trying to say, why did Moses say you can get divorced and all this kind of stuff? But anyway, here's what it says. And he answered them and said, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So he goes back to the beginning of marriage, how it was created by God. And he said, no, this is the way God established the culture of marriage. Okay, here's the second point. It goes against God's command in marriage, or for humanity. It goes against nature. Here's what God said in Genesis 1. After creating them, he said, God bless them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Have dominion. Be fruitful and multiply. It goes against nature. If homosexuality was a natural thing, the human race, we couldn't fulfill that. You couldn't populate the earth because it's not natural. It goes against nature and biology and things like that. Let's see. Here's another one. You know, and a lot of people say, why does the church pick on homosexuality in marriage? That's not the only restriction God puts on sexuality. Churches, we're against adultery too. We're against fornication too. We're against pedophilia too. We're against incest too. We're against bestiality. We're against a lot of things that the Bible talks about. I'll tell you why we harp on this one the most, because really it's being crammed down our throat and we're trying to have to stand up and defend against it. Okay, so here's the third one. And I hear this a lot today. It puts man's feelings ahead of God's word. A lot of people say this, I did not choose this lifestyle. This is the way I was born. I didn't have a choice in this matter. Now, you follow this reasoning a little bit. If you're going to say that, I should have the right to say, I did not choose to be attracted to little kids. God made me this way. I did not choose a monogamous relationship. I must be in multiple relationships, whatever. You could just take, if you're going to use, this is the way I feel, this is the way we feel, we don't go against our feelings, we go with the Word of God. So once again, why are you signaling out this lifestyle? God's against a lot of things. I'm not just trying to signal this out. He's against pride, jealousy, theft, hypocrisy, lying, false religion, lust, laziness, gluttony, and on and on and on. This sin not only destroys people, it destroys the family unit, destroys nations. And so it's something we've got to address. Here's the next point. Well, the church needs to keep up with the culture. We're living in a changing society. Things change. No, homosexuality is the sign of a depraved society, a decaying society. That's what the Bible says. It's the sign of people have rejected God and say we're going to do it our way, and it just keeps tumbling downward more and more. When you start going by your feelings, when people started saying, I feel like I was born a girl instead of a boy, and I feel this is okay, this is the way I was born, did you know that now we have 72 different genders? It just continues to spiral out of control. When man's left to his own sinful, depraved mind, it just keeps exploding and exploding. All right, here's another one. It's a sign of a depraved society. Let me read this to you. All right, this is the book of Romans, chapter 1. Yes, they knew about him, talking about God, but they wouldn't admit it or worship him or even thank him for all his daily care. And after a while, they began to think up silly ideas of what God was like and what he wanted them to do. The result that their foolish minds became dark and confused. Claiming themselves to be wise without God, they became utter fools instead. And then, instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they took wood and stone and made idols for themselves, carving them to look like mere birds and animals and snakes and puny men. So God let them go ahead into every sort of sex sin and do whatever they wanted to do. Yes, vile and sinful things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they prayed to the things God made, but wouldn't obey the blessed God who made these things. That's why God let go of them and let them do all these evil things, so that even their women turned against God's natural plan for them and indulged in sex sin with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sex relationships with women, burned with lust for each other, men doing shameful things with other men, and as a result, getting paid within their own souls with the penalty they so richly deserve. So it was that when they gave God up and would not even acknowledge Him, God gave them up to do everything their evil minds could think of. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness and sin, of greed and hate and envy and murder, fighting, lying, bitterness and gossip. They were backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, braggarts, always thinking of new ways of sinning and continually being disobedient to their parents. They tried to misunderstand, broke their promises, and were heartless, without pity. They were fully aware of God's death penalty for these crimes, yet they went right ahead and did them anyway and encouraged others to do them too. It's the sign of a depraved society. It says we don't want God telling us what to do, and God gives them up, a culture like that, to where it just continues to go downward. Yeah, but here's the last one. How about this? Some of them are Christians. They love Jesus. There's gay Christians out there too, and you don't have a right to be judging them. Okay. I hear you. I've heard that many times. I say the Bible says you can't be in that lifestyle and be a Christian. I said, really? Oh, yeah. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 6. 9 and 10. He says, don't you know that those doing such things have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who live, this is people's lifestyles now, those who live immoral lives, who are idol worshipers, adulterers, or homosexuals, will have no share in his kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. You say, why don't the church just live their life and do their thing and let other people live their life? Because our thing is to try to reach people. It is our responsibility. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And if we just say that's acceptable, do your own thing, we're not reaching people. They're shut out of the kingdom of God in that lifestyle. If the Bible means anything to anybody, that's what it means. So, the Bible says in the last days there would be a great falling away. There'd be an age of compromise. What really gets my goat is not only that we're promoting sin and we're demanding that the church accept it, we're letting them teach it to our kids in our elementary school. They're trying to ram it down our throat. We've got 1 month of the year is Gay Pride Month. We got 1 month of the 1 day of the year to celebrate our independence and 1 month to celebrate Gay Pride Month. They're trying to ram it and force it down our throats. Now, that's what bothers me the most. And if we lose our saltiness as a church, if we compromise, we're fit for nothing but the dunghill. We're worth nothing anymore. These people need Jesus. We've got to love them. We've got to reach out to them. If we just accept that lifestyle, then you're just writing them off. And we're not here to write them off. We're here to try to win everybody to the Lord. Here's the problem I know some people may have even in this service right here. Yeah, but what if you got children or grandchildren that's in that lifestyle? My first thing is my heart goes out to you because that's a very tough situation. Well, I can't disown them. I don't want you to disown them. You got to love them. You got to love them, but they need to know that you don't accept that as legitimate. Somebody asked me once, my child is a homosexual, and they're getting married, and asked, would I please come to the wedding? My counsel for that is don't go. You say, well, you got to show them that you love them. No, when you go, you're giving legitimacy to something that's not legitimate. It'd be if like one of my children asked me, we've gone and we've joined a false religion or a cult or something like that. I'm going to be baptized or I'm going to be promoted to some position in this false church. Would you come and be a part of it? No, I'm not going to come and be a part of that because it gives legitimacy to something that's not legitimate. So you've got to be loving and kind and never give up on your children, but you also have to continue to take your stand. So I've got all around here talking about acceptance and how it's misunderstood today. The world today says the church needs to accept everybody because and not be so judgmental. No. And what they would say is, doesn't God accept all of us the way we are? Let me define that real quickly. You know, here's the Lord's acceptance. Some people would say this, just as I am, without one plea. We come to the Lord just as we are, exactly. In other words, you don't clean yourself up before you come. He accepts you as you are, but He accepts you on His terms. What's His terms? You better come broken, repentant, a contrite spirit. You're not coming to Him, I want Jesus in my life, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to. You're not coming on His terms. He doesn't accept that. You've got to realize you're a sinner and that you're lost. And even though you're vile in your sin, He can change you from then on. But you come with a broken, repentant heart, and then He accepts you. Here's our problem. God wants to change us, and we want to change God. Jason said something like that a while ago. That's what our problem is. Okay, so anyway, He accepts us, and He accepts us. He adopts us, and but He accepts us on His terms and not on our terms. Let me wind this down and say this. God loves us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to share our needs and our deepest feelings. He wants to walk with us through this life. Never forget that. He did that for us. Let me read you one other scripture just to show you how much He loves us. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the sons of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I'll not forget you. God said, I won't forget you. I love you. I care about you that much. Max Lucado said it this way. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If He had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, He'll listen 24/7. He can live anywhere in the universe, but He wants to live in your heart. Face it, friend, He's crazy about you. Our God's crazy about us. He adopts us and He accepts us into His wonderful family. Would you stand with me? Church, we've got to stand on nothing but the Word of God and the love of God. If you care about people, you'll care enough to bring them the truth. Every one of us that's been born again, you've been adopted into the family of God. If you haven't been born again, you're on the outside looking in. You don't get accepted by God on your terms. You come on His terms. And then He welcomes you with wide open arms. If you're lost today, we invite you. He loves you. And He's here for you. You can't do things your way and demand that He accept it. You're not going to change God. He's here to change you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we have to deal with tough issues because we're faced with tough situations in this world. And the church is compromising. The church, in the name of love, in the name of not being judgmental, we're weakening everything that You told us. And You've told us what's right and wrong because You love us more than we can even love ourselves. And You're going against anything that would destroy us. our lives, our families, our nation. Help us, Lord, to realize we still got to be the salt of the earth and the light of this world. And the darker it gets, may your light shine brighter. May we always walk in love. May we not walk in anger and hatred, but may we stand for truth and not compromise, and let the love of Jesus truly shine forth from our heart so others can come and meet this wonderful Savior. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope I didn't run everybody off today, but if you did, I'm sorry. You just have to run.